Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from LA Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.lagghosts.com.
Scott L.
And this is Doug.
This is Ron.
This is John.
And we are all kind of part of this thing we do every month here on Ghostly Talk, entitled The Discussion on the Recreation of the Philadelphia Experiment, being hosted, I should say, not by Doug and myself, but by Dr. Ron Millione and John Hutchison.
And what we do is we talk about their experimentation in recreating the Philadelphia experiment, how exciting it is, and how the issues and the problems and the fun and the dreams and the hopes to capture it as a documentary for the whole world to see.
You think 1943 was exciting? You think 1943 was the melting point of physics when people disappeared and the government said it never happened? You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till what we're going to recreate in 2007.
Hollywood, get ready for the biggest and greatest show of your life with Ron and John that will make your hair stand up on end and fly out of your seat.
For more information and for the schedule to hear John and Ron, visit www.ghostlytalk.com.
And if nothing else works, just bring the blowtorch and duct tape.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Well, I'm hoping that this last hour goes smoothly. Don't you, Doug?
Oh, I do. But if it does crash one last final time, we'll just get everyone back on the phone and continue talking. Just like normal.
Yeah, this is Ghostly
Talk. Crashing tonight.
What's that?
It's been crashing tonight.
Yeah, we've been having issues all night. Well, not all night, but the last hour we had a couple of follow-ups with the guys from Pacific Paranormal. And hopefully we're going to be okay here. I think things are running smoothly again, so hopefully we'll be okay.
We'll see if Murphy leaves us alone this hour.
Yeah, exactly. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Welcome back to the show. Who we have on the line right now? And first of all, I have to get this out of the way because I did it again. Like I always do with people, I mispronounced his last name. I've been mispronouncing his last name the whole show every time I mentioned him. I'm an artist with like just slaughtering last names, I guess. We do have on the line though Mike Whitus, who is an actual professor at Indiana State University. Am I correct, Mike?
I work for Indiana University, a couple of the different satellite campuses, South Bend, Warsaw, and Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. And we've had the pleasure, actually, of meeting up with you a couple of times. We've met you, I think the first time we actually met you was at the Indiana Ghost Trackers workshop they had a couple of summers ago, where they had, we've raved about that thing ever since we were there, where they actually had classes all day long in the Porter County house out there.
Porter County home, yeah.
Yeah, the Porter County home. We actually met you there for the first time, and I had the pleasure of seeing you, hanging out with you again, at this just a few months ago at the Indiana Ghost Trackers annual awards banquet they have. So and
one more time, I think we got together at the Mansfield Reformatory as well.
Yes, we did. You're right. We did there too. So we've had three occasions where we got to hang out.
And ooh, did I get sick?
What was that?
I got sick there at Mansfield.
Why is that?
That was a hot
on night. That trip. Toward the end of the night, I went back to the car, and I just crashed.
I don't remember
And then
that.
After that, I had that cold for like a week.
I don't remember you getting sick.
Oh, yeah.
I was
sick. Well, and Shannon Simpson got sick, too.
Oh, okay.
She got sick from the bats.
The bats?
Yeah.
Where was I at for all this?
You were ghost hunting like a good ghost hunter.
Oh, okay. Well, no, a few months ago, though, when we were at the Indiana Ghost Trackers Awards Banquet, Mike and myself were outside talking, and you know, you discussed to me some of the stuff that you were working on, and namely this class on the paranormal and ghost hunting that you're teaching at South Bend over there.
Yeah, Mike, how do we sign up?
How do you sign up? Oh, I'm in my 16th minute of fame when it comes to being a professor of paranormal studies out this way. It's amazing how this came to me. I was actually taking a class at Indiana University in grant writing. I wanted to learn how to form up a nonprofit corporation of my own, maybe solicit some funds and get out and do educational talking on the subject of ghost hunting and paranormal studies. Well, my class meets on a Monday. Well, I had done some publicity work and took some reporters through the Notre Dame University on a ghost hunt through one of the halls. And it, very fortunate for me, it ended up on the Sunday front page.
Oh, wow.
Discussed. So I got to, I went to my class that Monday night, and everybody's staring at me like I've got something on my shirt. And I go, what? And well, it sort of snowballed from there. My instructor said, you know, you could probably teach that right here at Indiana University. He made a phone call. I made a phone call, and the next thing I know, I'm in negotiations for a class, and it worked out very well. And to this point, it's snowballed beyond my imagination.
Well, you know, there's a lot of classes, you know, when I was going to college, and I know Doug, when Doug was going back to in college also.
Well, I was in college at the University of Detroit, Jesuit institution. They didn't have a ghost hunting class.
Okay, all right. I'll retract that statement then. But when I was in college, there were a lot of classes, like, you know, I took one class that its actual, like, title was Myth, Magic, and Folk Religions, right? And I thought that was interesting. And they had a couple other classes on alternative viewpoints and things like that. But there was never a class on, not even back then, but there was never really a class on studying the paranormal or ghost hunting itself. I wouldn't expect to be a ghost hunting class, but there was never a class that discussed the paranormal or anything like that. And that's why I'm really excited when you told me about this back at the awards banquet that you were doing this, Mike.
It's been fun for me. The range of people that I get in the class range from 16-year-olds coming with their parents or even grandparents to those folks in their late 50s, early 60s, searching for certain answers. Maybe I cannot provide answers, but I certainly field the questions and provide them with the resources and point them in the right direction, maybe to get their questions answered.
Well, that must be go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's not all about ghost hunting and ghost hunting tools. A lot of folks have gone through strange things in their lives, or they have a lot of life experiences, and they're trying to make some sense of it. And not necessarily trying to make contact with the other side or provide scientific proof of existence, but maybe I can refer them to a decent clairvoyant to come to their home, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the one thing I was curious about, though, too, as far as how the class is constructed, and this is what I kind of like to get into a little bit, if you don't mind, is, you know, obviously this is a class, I mean, everything, when you talk about the paranormal and things like that, a lot of it, I mean, well, all of it's based on theory, right? As far as the class is concerned, I mean, do you give tests in this class? Is there quizzes or stuff like that? I mean, do you have stuff that they do have to learn?
No, not at all. It's a non-credited course. This is run through the Continuing Education Department or Personal Enrichment.
Okay.
Right along the same lines of becoming a master gardener.
Okay.
This is offered by the university for community people, not necessarily for students, but as it says, continued education.
Doug?
It's still awesome because it is in a class schedule, and I love it. They have, Dr. Ken in Ohio was teaching a class, and now you in Indiana. I don't think we have anything quite that progressive here in Michigan.
No, we don't. Maybe we should. I'd love to see something like that, but we don't have anything like that here at all.
I met a gentleman on the Queen Mary name of Dr. Adam Bly, who is a paranormal researcher as well as a demonologist, and he works for Penn State University. He's actually accredited through the church and assists with exorcisms through the Catholic Church. It has been his calling, and he lives the life of a very, very astute Catholic, and his calling is helping people and ridding them of the demons that maybe bother them. And this was a very interesting individual. So I did want to mention him and Penn State University as to having something like that.
Well, I know there is a lot of work, actually, now that I think about it, that there are a lot of people doing work at Penn State out there concerning the paranormal and stuff like that. I don't know if they actually have any classes out there. Do you know anything about that, Mike?
I don't. I've not been able to research it yet. When I got home off the Queen Mary, I hit the ground running because of having to write for classes this last weekend, as well as my my Indiana class starting up Tuesday. I also run a remodeling business. That keeps me busy as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It sounds like you are.
That is busy.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Penn State has historically been fairly progressive in paranormal studies. I mean, they've had the I think they had a ghost club or a paranormal club for years, and then it ballooned into a very successful series of conferences and symposiums. So Penn State's been, you know, up there for years in the paranormal field. But what does it take? Like, is it a happy accident, or could other folks interested in this kind of thing bring this to their state or their local universities? Could they develop a program, a continuing education program, and offer it to them? And some will say yes, and most will probably say no, but on the off chance that someone might say yes?
My answer to that is a lot of people can say yes. The problem is going to be finding someone who wants to work as an instructor. And it's not, I don't do this because it's a paid position. The cut into my free time, the cut into my ghost hunting, and even my relaxing time can be a nuisance because you're scheduled on your night off to be teaching. But the tough part is going to be finding someone like myself who enjoys being a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's where my love of the game, my love of the ghost hunting and the researching especially, is a double bonus for me because this forces me to research deeper and deeper and become very astute in certain areas, because I don't feel that I have any right to stand in front of a class and espouse on anything unless I am confident that I know more than they do on the subject or that I'm able to pass on some good info. And it's not so much just passing on good info. I like to know that I've piqued somebody's interest enough that they're going to go out and research more on it too. The nature of the classes, if you're looking at the syllabus in front of you, you're probably seeing almost 30 different things that I like to touch upon. Well, some of the things I'm given 12 hours to talk at this class. The class runs for 6 weeks. I get it one night a week for 2 hours.
Mm.
Now, many of these subjects I talk about for one full hour, and then I move on to the next subject. Some of the things I only talk about for 20 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of these subjects, I'm able to talk for 3 to 6 hours on each. So I'm got to be very careful as to what information that I pass on, but I do hope that I've piqued people's interest and I send them to the library or to the internet to research more.
Exactly.
That's my job.
And just for the listening audience, what I want to do real quick here, and I have this syllabus in front of me, I just want to go through this syllabus really fast, just to show people.
Okay.
The breadth
of subjects. I mean, there's
many
of them.
It's wild. I'll start from the top, and I'm going to go right down to the bottom. Here's number one, normal haunted activity. Number two, types of ghosts and hauntings. Number three, misconceptions of ghosts and hauntings. Number four, why do some spirits stay earthbound? Number five, what to do if you have a ghost? Number six, children and ghosts. Number seven, animals and ghosts. Number eight, crisis apparitions. Number nine, shadow figures. Number 10, demons. Number 11, poltergeist activity. Number 12, spiritual layering. Number 13, where to find ghosts. Number 14, ghost hunts and ghost investigations. Number 15, researching your ghost. Number 16, researching your location, which I think are two really important ones right there. Number 17, environmental conditions. Number 18, preparedness for fun, scary, intellectual hobby. Thank you for including that, Mike. Number 18, respectfulness for the living and living challenged. Number 19, ley lines. 20, ghost hunting equipment. 21, spirit photography. 22, EVP and ITC. 23, psychic ghost hunting and psychic protection. 24, fear. 25, legend and lore. 26, things to avoid. 27, running a private investigation. 28, interviewing someone who has a ghost. 29, common sense. 30, local and Midwestern haunts. 31, increasing your odds for success. 32, mental health and temporal issues. 33, being a healthy skeptic. 34, choosing the right chicken virgin subject for sacrifice. I got to ask you about that one. 35, and that's the end of the list. We're at the end of the list here. Choosing the right chicken / virgin / subject for your sacrifice. What is that about, Mike?
That's about having some fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
That's about handing this list to people and watching them get real studious and read down this list, and you watch their eyebrows, and they're very serious about this list, and you watch them as they get down to that bottom one, and if they crack a smile and their eyes go back up, and you know, just like my email address, which is which you know what it is.
Yeah. I laughed when I saw that too.
You've got to have some fun with this. You can't be ultra serious because, you know, no matter what, very few of us are making enough money at this to retire on it.
Uh-huh.
And you notice up at the top I said fun, scary, intellectual hobby. Okay.
Uh-huh.
This is a hobby. Yes, you can get serious about it to a degree, especially when you're on site. It's time to shut up, pay attention, and do your thing so that you don't ruin it for your team.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to have fun with this too.
That's a really important thing, and that's something we preach here a lot on the show. It's a hobby. It's clearly a hobby, and there is a serious side, like you said, Mike. There is a time where, let's shut up now. We're running audio here. We're trying to record audio. Let's quiet down a little bit and get serious for a little while. But you know, it is a hobby, and it's a lot of fun too. It has to be a lot of fun. I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't enjoying myself. I don't think so. I mean, what about you, Doug?
Same thing. I enjoy not only the camaraderie with the other ghost hunters and chatting and learning all the time. I also enjoy sometimes just being quiet for the tape recorder, being quiet for the video recorder and seeing if anything can happen. Like I was saying, you know, when we were talking to I think Dave and Glenn, we were saying that it's that those things that get you, those little things that happen that you just can't explain, they are a thrill for me, and I love catching them. It's so rare, and so when I get that kind of thing, when I get a thrilling, unexplainable thing happen, I really get that. I dig it. I just absolutely love ghost hunting at those points. But I also love it for the camaraderie, for the learning, for the dreaming and the thinking that I get to do. So fun, what was it? Fun, interesting, and
scary hobby.
Scary,
fun,
yeah.
Scary intellectual hobby.
Intellectual hobby. So it's that really wraps it up.
Why?
Let me ask you, Doug. Those times where you have, where you're searching for those personal moments, you enjoy experiencing those personal moments, that isn't necessarily with a group, and that isn't necessarily with equipment now, is it?
Well, correct, because unfortunately, every single time I've had something like that, I've rarely had my camera at the ready or my recorder going, things like that. So those things just seem to happen at your least prepared moment. So
and
the
that,
best
that is
you can
one of the
do.
Things that I stress.
What
That's
that?
One of the things that I stress in my class, getting that mindset. And I tell people, near the end of this 6-week class, and quite often when I'm teaching to other ghost groups, I make mention of the fact that, you know, a lot of you have not yet had your first real paranormal experience. But when you do, you'll probably be alone. You probably won't have a camera or anything with you. You'll probably have no one with you to share this moment with, but it's going to be real for you. You're going to love it. And from that point on, when you're ghost hunting, you're going to try to reestablish that mindset that you were in so that you can gain that moment back again and enjoy it. And I've had those personal moments myself again, just like you guys, I have a room full of equipment that I can take out at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
Spend
mm-hmm.
a lot of money on fun toys, and spend a lot of money on gas, hotels, etc.
Oh, yeah.
But those moments, the moments that you have when you know it's happened to you, has been, you know, they've been very private and personal. The trips that we plan, like going to the prisons and the banquets and the training sessions and stuff, that really is great camaraderie, and it's a great time to bounce theories and ideas off people and establish some networking as well as, you know, share some of your experiences. And you're right, Doug, about the fun times had, you know, with the groups. But once you turn it into an intellectual hobby, then it becomes personal. Then it's your personal challenge to read a fantastic book, and that book's going to lead you into other ideas to research, and all of a sudden the theories that you're putting forth and the teachings that I'm putting forth make sense to a lot of people, and I know when I'm able to hold an audience raptly that my teachings are getting across, and that makes me feel good.
And that's really important. I mean, I commend you, Mike, on doing this, because it's obviously you're doing this class the same way we do this show. This is a labor of love. That's what it is. It's basically become a labor of love here. It's a child to us. We nurture this child, and we keep doing this thing because we love to do it. Bottom line, we make zero money doing it. We probably will never make any money doing it. That's the bottom line with this sort of thing. I mean, we enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and it becomes a personal, like an intellectual hobby, like you just said, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It runs into so many other areas of your life. Practicing the meditational type techniques to clear your mind, to open yourself up for reception to ghosts and being touched, etc. It really does work with you in other areas of your life to calm you down, to keep your anger or your mouth.
I'm sorry,
sorry about that, Mike.
Sure.
Doug dropped off, and I'm bringing him back in, so sorry.
Okay.
I didn't mean to break your train of thought there.
Not at all. No, I'm ADD anyway, so what were we talking about?
Well, no, there are these things, like you were saying, like meditation and things like that, to try to get you in the right frame of mind, like you said. And those are things that'll carry over. I mean, not just in studying the paranormal, but it'll also make you, I think, a more well-rounded person, too. So that does carry over. That's a good thing. It helps you in the long run with everything else.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm going to break this thing.
Speaking. That's all right. The public speaking also helps me also in my business. I'm able to talk to my customers very handily because of so much practice at running my mouth.
Well, no, that's, you know, it's a great idea what you have here. I mean, and like I said, again, you're doing this on your own time, on your own work, but it sounds like people are getting something out of it, and that's the most important thing. It's making people think about this stuff. And that's the reason we do the show here, too. You know, even if, you know, some people may not like the show, that's fine. We've heard plenty of people say that, but it gets them thinking about things, though, and it gets them researching things, too. And that's what the whole goal is, I think, of presenting stuff like this, whether it's in a class, whether it's on the radio. It's out there to give you this information where it's readily available, and it's free, too, on top of that. I think that's just a great thing.
Yeah, and what I love about your show is that you have things archived. And I can utilize your archives as a resource, just like I can going to the library on certain subject matter. And, you know, there's only so many published authors. But to hear learned people and experts on certain subjects may not have a book written,
uh-huh.
but I can listen to their archives on your show, and I think that's great. You're doing the public a real service that
way. Well, it's an honor to hear that you've used some of our stuff here from the show for your class too. That's a very cool thing to hear. I thank you for that. It's very neat.
Sure.
Why don't
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I do promote your station in my class.
Oh, how awesome is that? Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
Pretty cool. Let's take a quick break, Mike, because Doug got kicked off the line. We're going to bring him back on while we're on break instead of having to hear his voicemail thing go off. off over and over again. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L. Mike Wydus is on the line with us, talking about the class he teaches at Indiana State University, South Bend. We're going to talk more after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
It's Zach again from ParatalkRadio.com, here to tell you about Six Graphics. Six does some of the best graphics for the internet. Paratalk uses her graphics, and you should too. She makes everything you could want for your page, signs, banners, avatars, anything. Check out her new site at SixGraphics.com. That's S-I-X Graphics.com. Six Graphics, custom designs for paranormal minds.
best is an unholy riddle which still hesitates me for fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
Quite a night here. Doug's on his cell phone now. He's not actually on Skype.
No, I have gone over to the dark side, went back to my cell phone.
We lost you towards the end of the last segment.
And
I kept trying to bring you back in, and I kept getting the voicemail. So Mike is trying to explain what he's doing here, and every couple of seconds you hear, I'm getting the top end of your voicemail, and I'm trying to, like, kick it off as quick as possible. But we got you back.
Sorry about that, guys.
It's been a wild night here. It's been pretty out of control. But I think
Murphy is now officially visiting the Haunted Basement Studio.
Yeah, Murphy, he came back for just a little bit of that nostalgia. And hopefully he'll go away quickly, Doug. Thank you for being on the show, though, tonight, Mike. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Like I said, we've hung out a bunch of times, and I really wanted to get you on here to talk about this class because this is such an inspiring thing, I got to say.
We still have half an hour, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we're not going anywhere.
Oh, good.
Did it sound like I was ending the show or something? Yeah.
It sounded like it. I'm like, don't do that. No.
I'm trying new things as a broadcasting artiste, all right? Let me just
you're mixing it up.
I'm mixing it up a little bit. But no, I was saying this is a really inspiring thing, Mike, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of schools, like, I mean, pretty much where the Haunted Winery is here in Warren, where we broadcast Ghostly Talk from now, there's a college, like, about not even a mile away from here, you know? And, I mean, there's schools all over the place, and this is something I think, you know, with your blessing on this is something I might want to look into, is seeing if these guys would like to do it. I mean, because this is a free course, obviously. There's no college credit for this, but it's something very interesting, as we all know, right? And I'm wondering...
Well, sure.
I'm wondering if any other schools around here maybe would be interested in having a class this. You know?
And that's what I had asked Mike about, and he was saying that it really does take the right person, as somebody who's really able to... You know, first of all, like Ghostly Talk, like Mike's classes, like, you know, it takes time from your ghost hunting.
Oh,
it
yeah.
takes time from, you know, doing things you necessarily want to do. Even your relaxation time, it is a commitment, and so it takes a certain kind of person to do it. And I'm glad that there are people out there like Mike and like. Dr. Ken and I don't remember the fellow from Pennsylvania.
Who was that, Mike?
Adam Bly.
Dr. Adam Bly. And I'm glad that there's folks out there who can do this kind of thing because it does help lend credibility to these things that have been happening since, you know, the beginning of recorded time. These stories that have been handed out throughout folklore and through word of mouth, and some, you know, have evolved into children's stories and have evolved into, you know, even horror films are, you know, somewhat sometimes based in stories that have, you know, tweaked the imagination of somebody's creativity.
Yeah.
in reality, you know, they hear a story, they go, ooh, and it chills them in the same way, and then they write a horror movie, you know, things like that. I mean, there's like, you know, all this stuff has been happening since, you know, people have learned to communicate and started telling stories to each other and then started writing them down and then started, you know, creating from mm-hmm. them. And it's just happened over so long. And now, and it seems that it's difficult to get credibility. And certainly shows like Ghost Hunters and the Haunted series and the, you know, the sightings and all that, those have helped a lot, you know, bring this stuff and start people talking about this stuff again. But what about other institutions? What about, you know, the colleges and universities, the educational outreach programs, the, you know, where people can go and sit down one-on-one with, well, it would be more like 20 to 30 on one, with somebody and learn, you know, and be presented a whole gamut of these things and start talking about it in the hallways and talk about it in the coffee shop after class. And,
what was that, Mike?
When you talk about educational outreach, that's how this all got started for me. Again, I was taking a class at Indiana University in grant writing. I wanted to learn how I could form a not-for-profit corporation, solicit educational funds so that I could set myself up as an educational speaker and do some enlightening to folks that on subject matter of this type.
Uh-huh.
The teaching position was something I never, ever considered. All of a sudden, it was just offered to me. And I also got to say, you talked about it takes a special person to stand up and speak, and like you guys, give your time on the radio. But what people don't understand and people take for granted is that the amount of preparation time put in for your show or for my class is 10 times the amount of time.
We stopped doing the preparation for the show, but I understand for the class.
You know, if I'm standing there for 2 hours, I prepared for 20.
Mm-hmm.
To put together a decent presentation.
And there's plenty of prep for Ghostly Talk, by the way, too. There's plenty
absolutely
of prep.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, we live it. Yeah, we live our prep. But I have to say, the thing is, Mike, as somebody who does have to stand up for 2 hours, six times a semester or six times a class period for folks, and you have to stand up there, some of these topics probably don't pique your personal interest. Yet you had, and I might be wrong, but I looked at the list, and it's a huge list, and I'm thinking, I don't think I know anybody who's that deeply interested in every single one of them every single individual topic to prepare for, because like you said, you've got to prepare to be able to speak for 6 hours or 8 hours on any individual topic, even though you're only going to give each 20 minutes to an hour. You still have to know enough material in case the person you're talking to is interested in it, right?
Yeah,
you may not share that interest, though. Do you have a deep-rooted interest in every single topic? I would venture, I guess, to say no, but do you?
The titles that you see in front of you on the piece of paper, as far as those are a brief description of the class. Now, for instance, when I pick out legend and lore, all right, those are three words of a title. But what I'm teaching in my class is how to separate legend and lore from reality. The fact that legend and lore is a whole lot more interesting and a whole lot more romantic than reality quite often. The stories of Farmer Jones, who got his head cut off while riding his tractor, and now the ghostly lights that you see in his field are the ghost of Farmer Jones looking for his head with a lantern, when in fact, if you would park your car and walk out there, you'd realize this is just swamp gas reflecting off your car headlights.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I do get deeper and deeper, and because this class repeats itself, say, three times a year for me, to keep it fresh for me, to keep me from sounding stagnant, I rewrite these classes every year. So I'm always adding in some practice to make it better.
And also you're learning as you go as well.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that people don't, I'm sure that your students don't just sit there and just soak it all up like little sponges. I'm sure that they're interacting with you and saying, oh, I heard this and I know this legend and it's similar, so let me share that. So you're learning as you go as well.
Sure. My classes never run short. How's that sound? they always run over.
Well, I mean, a subject like this, I could never see it ever running short like that at all. I mean, the conversations that Doug and I have with people, we go to conferences, anywhere where we go, just in restaurants, you bump into somebody and you get on the subject. I mean, we've gone for 3-4 hours sometimes with people just talking about subjects.
I've had 4-hour dinners, yes. Mm-hmm. 4-hour dinners where you just sit there, you get on a topic, and boom, you're there for 4 hours.
And we're talking about the paranormal here. I mean, that's what it's.
Yep.
I mean, you can go forever. That's why it seems like a class like this would just be so interesting to go to. Something I would do in a second, I know for a fact. I mean, as I've been waiting, I mean, I was looking for something like this when I was in college, and the closest things I could come to was stuff like, more or less, like I said before, folk religion, you know, myth and magic and stuff like that. This class, I'm sure it runs, you guys could probably go all night long, every night doing this thing, but you only have 2 hours, unfortunately.
Yeah, the funny part is if people come to you with a question, whether it be in the classroom or on the street or at training or what have you, when they know you, this kind of thing, and they ask you a question thinking that they're going to get a 30-second answer or they're going to get a pat answer. And all I can say to most questions is, this isn't something that we can do in 1 minute's time. You know, call me, email me, or let's go sit down and have coffee somewhere. But, you know, I'm always polite. I'm never short or arrogant on the matter. Or I tell people the truth. There's more to it than we can do here in 1 minute's time, but call me.
Crisis apparitions. I was looking at this list and I saw this one entry called crisis apparitions. I've never really heard it put in that manner. I'm wondering speaking of 30-second answers, I'm wondering if you could shed some light on that for me so I can learn a little from you tonight.
Well, I'll try to keep it to 30 seconds or less.
No, that's okay. We got plenty of time.
Sure. Crisis apparitions, what I teach is pretty much getting, you may receive warnings from someone that you might be in impending danger, even warnings from someone that are not necessarily dead. It's not necessarily their ghost coming to you telling you not to travel that day or don't go to this place or don't perform this task. Also things of, I relate stories of wives and children back here in the United States where their husband or their father is away in battle in the war. And in the heat of the battle, the soldier's in the foxhole, and he's praying to God, and he says, you know, Lord, let me survive this. And his spiritual energy, his spirit guides, what have you, appear to the family back at home, letting them know that everything's okay with your son or your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two quick, brief, you know, examples.
Mm-hmm. Of a crisis-type apparition.
It's
an interesting term. It's why I just caught my eye, and I had to ask you about that, Mike.
I want to... Okay. Okay, I'll buy that.
Doug, was that...
I'm sorry, go ahead. We have a lot of fun with the class, too. I have a lot of fun because I'm of a very sarcastic, non-politically correct nature. And
that's true. We know this, yes.
Okay, and so I do have fun, and people, and just like the last item on the list, talking about the right chicken or virgin to sacrifice, you know, it's I try to keep it light. There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor. There's some adult humor, but, you know, it's not dirty, but being that hardly anybody in my class is an 18-year-old freshman at the university, they're all adults with a lot of life experiences, and so you can use analogies. You know, I'm married with children too, and when I get into talk of, oh, for instance, what's the scariest thing, Mr. White, is that you've ever had happen to you, and I get real serious and I tell them about the night that I've been ghost hunting most of the night. I came home about 3 o'clock in the morning and I walk into my kitchen, and right there on the kitchen table was my wife's Marshall Fields charge bill open.
on the table. You know, and when I get into my talk of, you know, what I did for the weekend and took some photos of this and that, and I got a really good picture, I've showed it to people, and they think it might be demonic, and I flip over a picture of Pee Wee Herman. You know? I try to keep it real light, and it makes the time go fast, too. Well, not only for people that, for me, but people that are sitting on their butts for 2 hours listening to me go on and on.
Well, you know, and that just illustrates, again, the another thing we preach here all the time is, you know, take your work seriously. You know, you take the work seriously. It's a fun hobby, like we said before. But, you know, take your work seriously. But don't take yourself too seriously, you know. And stuff like that, you know, where, yeah, and we've done the same. We pop jokes all the time. Doug and I and the rest of the people we work with, we're always ribbing each other. We're always goofing around. We're always having fun. And when it comes time to start being quiet and start doing work, we do that. But we, you know, you can't take yourself too seriously. I've seen people burn out real quick that way. I watch people burn out real fast that way, and they come into this thing like, you know, guns a-blazing, and then after about a year realize, you know, when they didn't get anything, like they didn't prove the existence of the afterlife conclusively, they said, I'm done. Because they pushed too hard, you know, and a lot of people do that, unfortunately. Whereas if you can just have fun with this thing, enjoy yourself, and learn something from it, by a course like this, obviously, you're going to get a whole lot out of it. That's so important, I think.
Well, people burn out also from the group involvement. There is so many ghost hunting groups out there. A lot of them are just simply internet-type groups. But there's a lot of groups that get together, try to form some, you know, some bylaws and some structure to their groups, and then you get the little political power plays going on amongst members. We're going to do it my way, or, you know, that's stupid. And you know, you just kind of take two steps backwards and be an amused spectator
mm-hmm.
and realize you're doing this as a personal hobby, not as a group hobby.
This sounds awful.
You're doing this for you.
This sounds awful familiar, don't it, Doug?
Yeah.
As you're telling us this, Doug and I are probably like both looking up at the ceiling, going, "Oh God, I remember those days." And you do burn out quick. You're right, Mike. The group activity, even though I mean we interact. I mean, just the last hour we talked with Pacific Paranormal Investigations, right? A wonderful
yes.
group out of California. And we support the groups. We support the work they're doing because some of these people are getting some really, really great stuff done. But then there's a lot of other groups out there I know where, yeah, people just they get so fed up. And I think depending on the situation, it can be detrimental to someone actually really sticking with this hobby and getting something out of it and actually making some real progress. It just depends on the person, though, I guess.
It does. There's individuals, just like team sports, that you're going to have, you know, you are playing sports on a team, but you're going to have individuals that shine. And it's not just shining with their talent for the game or for ghost hunting, but they're going to shine as individuals that you'd like to hang out with, that are easy to converse with and banter back and forth, and just fun mm-hmm. to be around, to make this hobby fun. You don't want to hang out with people that bring you down or are full of negative energy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know, you know, Doug and I mentioned, I kind of poked it out, and, you know, we've worked in those situations in the past as ghostly, you know, as Doug, you know, Doug and myself as people and as ghostly talk, we've been in those situations where it's been 190% positive. We had an absolute riot, and it's been on the other end of the spectrum too. But people out there don't let that, you know, don't let that shut you down. Don't let that burn you out. You know, it may not be the thing you need to do. I realized a long time ago myself, for example, Mike, and Doug can attest to this, that the group thing is not my thing. I'm not into groups. I don't want to be part of groups. I want to do this kind of as an independent. I also represent Ghostly Talk here, too. So that's what makes me happy. But I'm one person, though. There's a lot of other, you know, different ways to approach this thing out there. It just depends on who you are, I guess.
Right, because there is the other side of the coin as well. I mean,
mm-hmm,
there are people who function better as part of a group, and there are groups out there. I can name probably a dozen off the top of my head that are really well formed, well organized, and a conducive place to learn about ghost hunting and to meet friends of like-minded interest.
Exactly,
and you can become you know, you won't become friends with every single person in the group, but you might meet some really good friends. I mean, Scott, you and I met in a ghost hunting group.
That's how we
bunked or not, but it's I haven't heard from it in a long time. So it's just, you know, I mean, you will form those friendships. You'll get exposure to ideas that you've not had before. People will, you know, bring a lot to the table. So groups are very important, I think, in this industry still.
Absolutely. I've been very fortunate to work with people like yourselves from, you know, half a dozen states and even beyond. And it's so fun to get together with people on some quality investigations that one group says, well, we're going to be somewhat near you, you want to join us, fine. And I do the same thing because the investigation calls come to me, and it's not always that I can get somebody from South Bend, somebody from my team here that is willing to travel 200 to 300 miles, but I know people at the other end that are sure wonderful to hook up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it a lot of fun.
And that's one of the positives of a group right there. You do have a bigger reach with people. You have more resources.
And opportunities. I mean, we went with IGT, Indiana Ghost Trackers, mm-hmm. to Mansfield that one time and had a blast.
It was an absolute blast.
They got sick toward the end. But, and the experiments that people did.
What was that, Mike?
That group does real well because they're in nine or ten different cities all up and down Indiana. So if you want to get away for a weekend and there's nothing going on in South Bend, all you got to do is look at the IGT website and, wow, this looks fun in Indianapolis. I think I'll head down there. Or this looks fun in Crown Point. I think I'll head there. Or Muncie. And so there's always something to do every weekend if you want to.
Mm. And that's that's the positives of working with a group. For the future, Mike, you're doing this class. The class, you're in the middle of the semester for this class right now. Am I correct?
No, I think he's starting at Tuesday, right?
Yeah, actually, I start the next semester on Tuesday.
You start the next semester on Tuesday. This is, for the future of this thing, you're just going to keep doing this? I mean, it's still in its development stages and stuff like that. But do you see anything for the future? I mean, as far as like this maybe becoming a longer, more involved course, or is it, you know,
DVD series?
What, a DVD series?
I'm holding the possibilities open. I have learned that being patient and not expecting too much, and not getting my hopes too high on any one thing. It just, nature plays its course, and everything that's happened to me in this regard has been very positive. And I mentioned that I'm in my 16th minute of fame, and I'm loving it. I haven't learned to be arrogant about this, like a lot of people that I've met in this field through conferences and book writers, etc. I do know that one day I'm going to be writing a book, and it will not be the same old redundant How to Be a Ghost Hunter 101, and it won't be the redundant case books. My stuff's going to be worth writing, okay? Worth writing for me. Whether or not anybody buys it, that's not the important part right now, but I could sit down and write a book right now. But I'm not. I'm going to wait till I have the proper confidence in my abilities, my experience, and When I feel it's the right time, a book will be written.
And then we'll see you at the convention.
Yeah, we'll see you at the convention.
Yeah, then you'll see me at the convention.
Mike,
excellent.
Mike, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and talking about the class that you're doing now. Inspiring, I have to say. Absolutely inspiring, Mike. And I'm really glad to see that this has been successful for you so far. I hope you keep doing this. I think we need it. People need stuff like this. Things like this with people that can kind of give them an idea of what they need to do or what they want to get out of studying the paranormal. It's really important. So thanks for your contribution. It's really great.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And I'm going to keep an eye on your guys' calendar. And I'm going to surprise you one day and let you know I'm going to be where you're at.
Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let us know, definitely. Unfortunately, though, we have to close the show out. We are at the top end of 9 p.m. here. What a week. I mean, what a night. It has been quite a week, too, Doug. You know that for at least me.
Yes, it has.
But, wow, just so many things going on. This was kind of a crazy night tonight. Sorry about that. But we kept it together.
Right.
And we didn't blow apart at the seams, thank goodness.
Right. Stay on the line.
I know I'm from Indiana, but I've got to close out by saying Go Bears.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Boy, my
well, you know, we've consulted our prophecy friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's looking like the Colts
it's
by
looking
three.
Like they're the underdog from what I understand now. Actually, no, I'm sorry. The Bears are the underdog. There was a retraction, actually, though. When I was checking my email earlier trying to get that phone number, Doug, I got another email from homie saying, I made a mistake. The Bears are the underdog now. So there's been a development here during the show. So
wow,
we'll have to see what happens, though. But Mike, in regards to that comment, though, I'd watch myself in your car for a couple of days. I'd be careful about that, Mike. Guys, we're going to close. What's that? Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm wearing my Bears cap, but the drapes are closed.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Guys, this has been another Ghostly Talk. I have to say thank you to Mike Wydus, who's on the line right now. Thanks again. David Walters and Glenn Pitcher from Pacific Paranormal Investigations. You guys are all great, though. We had a great time tonight. I'd also like to thank Skype for working so well, by the way, too. Just an absolute dream of a piece of software they have here. There's only about 5 million users online right now, so I guess they're doing something right. This has been Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Again, thank you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks because next week we are off for the Super Bowl. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Go close someplace where a man can think.
The media, become the media.